Good evening. The text for our Ash Wednesday meditation is from Matthew 6. You can follow in your order of worship or in your Bible. This is Matthew 6, 1 through 6, verse 19 through 21. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for this evening that we can gather here as your people. We pray by your Spirit that you'd help us to hear your word, that we may respond in faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we have heard already in our service, the traditional scripture sentences for Ash Wednesday are, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return, and repent and believe the gospel. I don't know about how those strike you, but they are, to me at least, sentences that are challenging. Challenging probably in many ways, but part of the challenge rests in the directive for us to see. For us to look at ourselves with honesty. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Here the scriptures are telling us to see that we are mortal. Repent. Scriptures now invite us to see ourselves as sinners, as those who have fallen short or those who have broken God's law, those in need of help and forgiveness. Mortality and sin are not easy things to consider, and even when we do take a look, we know the difference between considering death in some kind of broad general sense or some kind of human fact versus looking at our own limits. Our own lack of power or our own lack of control. In the same way, we may speak about the brokenness of the world, or we may affirm the fact that no one's perfect, but it's something altogether different when we look at and even name our own sin. To see how my actions or how my failures to act bring separation with God, with others, or even within myself. And so I think it's worth us pausing tonight as we reflect on ask, why does Christianity say that it is necessary and it's actually helpful to see our mortality, to see our sin? I suggest that what is being offered to you and I is an honesty, especially honesty about ourselves. That honesty frees us to seek true life. On our path, as we make our way in this world, there's all sorts of false hopes or false treasures that offer themselves. And this call for us to see or call for us to be honest is not just something about Ash Wednesday. Rather, it's central and at the heart of Jesus' ministry and his work that he calls you and I to see, to really see. Part of what he directs us to see is our limits and our profound need for help. Yet if you're like me, it is often overwhelming to face our lack of control or our lack of power, and so we learn in all sorts of ways how to close our eyes, how to hide or how to foster illusions of being in control. And strangely, it might, as strange as it might be, that one of the ways that we do this, try to make a life for ourselves, to somehow make us forget or close our eyes to our mortality or our lack of power. One of the ways that we do that is through religion. I want to be clear here that it is a false path when we use religion or religious activity to gain a sense of power or control. It's a process of using good things to mislead or to somehow avoid actually looking at God or looking at ourselves. And the reality is that what Jesus is inviting us to see in this passage is that we can move away from God in rebellion, but we can also move away from God or ignore certain things about our life through the practice of self-righteousness or through hiding. And it's this hiding or this illusion that Jesus is speaking about in our passage, where he shines light on some common good things like praying and giving to others. The giving of alms or giving of resources to others, especially the poor, shines a window into our relationship with others, our neighbor. Prayer shines a light, opens a window into our relationship with God. And Jesus, though, says that it's possible in our desire to kind of close our eyes or to turn away from certain things that we can reduce these good practices. And this reduction, this reducing has to do with us and how we see. Choosing not to see or choosing to hide ourselves or hide from others. Rather than seeing God or letting God see me, prayer might become a means of hiding, a means of simply strengthening my reputation or among those who are around me. Rather than seeing those who are around me as my neighbors who I am called to love and to serve in generous ways, it's possible, Jesus says, I can reduce things down and simply see them as objects that I can move around or I can use to construct a sense of righteousness or a sense of security. One author speaks of such good practices becoming these hollow things. He speaks of this as how to get all A's and still flunk life. How to get all A's and still flunk life, or maybe we could say another way, that Jesus here is talking about how to do what is expected of you, but to lose yourself along the way. How to do what is expected of you, but to lose yourself along the way. Strange as it may be that it's in our righteous actions, even these actions can be harmful. They have the possibility of being reduced down to a way for us to hide or to blind ourselves or others. And it's for this reason that Jesus says, beware. Beware. And to use the language of our passage that I just read, it's to say that the treasure of reputation, the treasure of appearance, or the treasure of having a sense of control will not ultimately prevent you or me from having to face our mortality or face our sin. So what do these treasures give? The reward of this way of reputation, of reducing things down in this manner, is to have as our center of our being, the center of our gravity, being the admiration or response of other people. And such treasure does not shine light or bring sight to you and to me, but rather it pushes us deeper and deeper into hiding. You see, Jesus is inviting you and I to imagine that we can seek after a treasure, or we can even seek after good things in such a way that is not worthy of our lives, not worthy of who God made us to be. For some treasures will fade away, fade due to the moth, which is nature's corrosion, fade due to rust, which is the passing and effect of time, or fade due to the thief, which is the reality that humans can take certain treasures from us. Why does Christianity, why does this faith say it's necessary and helpful for you and I to see, to really see our limits and our sin? Because we are invited into an honesty especially about ourselves, that when we come to grips with it, will free us to seek what is true life. The way of true life is not through pride or reassurance of my power. It's not learning how to better hide or project myself. Rather, Jesus is saying it's in the humble acknowledgement of my need and my profound limits before God. The purpose of following Christ is not so that you and I can deepen the illusion of our power and control and righteousness. If God does not want us simply to fulfill certain religious practices or certain religious expectations, then we can ask, what does he want? What does God want? I suggest to you that religion is not meant to be a source of illusion or distortion, but rather Jesus is inviting us, and maybe especially in Ash Wednesday, we can think about this as something different. He's inviting you and I to rest in honesty in the gracious and profound welcome of our God, the God who sees you and who sees me. He invites us to see. He invites you and I into an honest confession before the grace of our God. He invites us into a hope, not in our ability to control things or make people see us a certain way, but a hope of the one who has entered into the tomb and who has walked out as the resurrected one. You see, Jesus, rather than uprooting or denying that we seek after a treasure, he says, no, that we do give our hearts. As humans, we must give our hearts to something, and he invites us and counsels us to give our hearts, our hope, to living before our Father in heaven, the one who sees us. For a rusting and fading treasure is to seek our life apart from God, but faith and repentance is ourselves being grounded in that God who has come to us and who sees us. I recently came across an author who wrote about this idea of seeing and knowing. He writes this: "There is nothing we are asked to do that requires more of us than to know and to love at the same time. Always and everywhere, this is our challenge as human beings. Can we know and love the world at the same time? Knowing its glories and shames, can we still choose to love what we know? Think about it. From roommates to parents to siblings to friends, from neighborhoods to cities, from countries to cultures. Once you begin to know, really know what a person or a place is like, can you still love them? Can you still love it? To see and to love. Such actions, when that happens, is a connecting of heaven and earth. It is taking ordinary elements of life and ordinary human interactions and making them holy. Why? Because in that moment in which one is seen and known and loved, it is the reflection of our God. The one who sees and the one who loves. The one who knows all of your limits and all of your brokenness, all of who you are, yet has loved you faithfully. Jesus invites us to see because he is the one who can take us in and he is the one who welcomes us. It's possible for you and I to pretend. To pretend that we and that those we love will not die. It's possible to pretend that we can handle all the things that we come across each day. We can pretend that the sadness and sorrow that are so real are not really there. We can pretend that the deep lines of fracture that they don't really run within us or within our relationships. But Ash Wednesday and the gospel of Jesus invite us into something different. The possibility of being honest, of seeing, of being known ourselves and being loved and received. This is the hope of Christ. Amen. Lord, I thank you for who you are, that you are a God who sees and who loves. A God that invites us to speak truthfully about ourselves, that we may find rest and true rest in you. Amen.